Welcome to this week's edition of the Windmill Sports Show. Sports fans, I'm your host, Kenny B., here with Josh Nagel. What's going on, Mr. Josh Nagel?
Ken, how are you?
Doing well.
Just
how
checking,
are you?
Checking out another UFC card for you tomorrow.
Which we will be showing free.
Yeah,
here at the
I saw
club.
That. I saw that earlier. Nice job. Yeah, it's a good one. Best place to watch the fight.
Absolutely. We have our big event room here, two 20-foot screens, glass enclosed. It'll be smoke-free, and that's a fantastic place to watch watch these combat events. Actually, it's a great place to watch anything, football also.
So. Well, that's worth noting. Like I said, it's sort of retrospect the Fury-Wilder fight. Only place in town that I know of for free that actually had room, right? You have the occasional sports bar here and there. Oh, we've got it for free. The first 20 people show up get to watch the fight. I mean, people from all over town were walking in here that night.
Like, packed.
Every single screen with
packed.
The fight. Nice.
Absolutely. John the Hawk Stevens.
You.
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing. Just wonder what I'm going to do later since
yeah,
our night was ruined.
Yeah, we're going to get on that. We're going to get to that. And we have Robert Kowalski, a friend of the show, been on numerous times. Used to work for William Hill, doing his own thing now. And he's actually a horse expert. And we have the Derby. Diego, get off of my mic cord. That's right. I'm blowing up our tech. I've been on Diego's butt ever since we got on today. Robert, sorry, what's going on?
Everything's great, Ken. So glad to be back. Thanks so much for a little bit of time, a little bit
yeah.
of leave. Great little place you have here.
Yeah.
Glad to know that this is the place to go to watch all these great combat sports.
Absolutely. Like I said, we're going to be showing the UFC tomorrow night here at the Club County, but for free. And like Josh said, no small fine print. We're just going to show it. Show up.
Exactly.
Show up. You don't even have to. There's no two-drink minimum. There's no overpriced drinks. It's, hey, show up. Watch UFC for free. We're going to show that tomorrow. So come on down. We're going to open the doors about 6 o'clock. And then I think the main card starts at we have an event going in the event room until 4. We're going to get it turned around after 4 and get it, the doors open as quickly as we can. Definitely before 7. Hopefully I'd like to have it open by about 5. So with that, because for the undercard stuff. We'll get into the UFC stuff too. But I guess we've been kind of biting our tongues. Everybody's looking at each other right now. And, you know, everybody kind of wanted to talk about the Wolfpack game last night. But like John the Hawk Stevens was saying, he would start to say something and just say, I'm going to save it for the
yeah.
show. I'm going to save it for
no,
the show.
Exactly.
Kowalski said the same thing. He just kind of like, oh, let's – so I just said, nobody talk about it. Nobody talk about it. So here we are.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit less than 24 hours removed from Nevada going down for the Mountain West Conference Tournament. I ended up 100% transparent. I ended up with Nevada at minus 10, minus 10 and a half, and minus 11.
And a half, yeah.
And,
against my better judgment.
And Nevada jumped out to the big lead, and I never got off of it. I did. I will say this. Later, once I kind of was able to see what was going on, and that's the one thing that in-play algorithms – do have trouble with. You know, I was actually talking with Dan Shapiro and David Grohlman this weekend. They're the vice president of William Hill two of the big wigs right below Joe Asher. We had lunch, we were talking about the algorithm for the in play and he says, and that's the one thing that, you know, it doesn't take into consideration, you know,
momentum,
well, a little bit momentum, but body language,
yeah
things like that, you know, the mental, you know,
disinterest.
Yeah, stuff like that. And so,
or perceived disinterest, at least.
So where I'm headed with this whole thing was, is as much money as I bet on Nevada at three numbers, 10, 10 and a half, and 11, I was able to get off and only lose about $300 on the game. And, and believe me, I was delighted to only lose $300 on this game because I could just see the wheels falling off. So I ended up with Wyoming plus 6.5 and was able just to hold on to that. You know, it actually flipped, you know, all the way to Wyoming actually ended up winning the game. So, you know, but so down, my point here is I'm going to throw William Hill another plug. Make sure you download the William Hill mobile sports app, because when you do get stung on something like this and you see this chain of events occurring, you can sense it. If you watch enough sports, you can sense it. I sensed it last night, and I was able to not lose a few thousand.
You had the reverse middle, though. You could have gotten burned when you go minus 10 and plus 6.
But
I mean, it's dangerous, but believe me, I've done it too.
Gosh,
you're like,
I
you know what? If I've got that little pit that I might fall in, it's worth it to try to get off when you know it's a really bad position.
And so I was in a horrible position. I don't know what happened. So I was able to download the William Hill mobile app at www.wimhill.us. Like I said, it's a full-service mobile app right at your fingertips. And they have in-play wagering, which I love in-play wagering. And, John, we've talked about this. Sometimes I'll make a wager just because I know I can get a middle. But with that being said, I said it once already. I'm sorry. John?
That's all good. No, I got to have another drink now.
Yeah, he's got to have another drink right now because we want to know – It's a very, very sad chain of events what's happened the last couple of years, you know, with Nevada going down to the Mountain West Conference Tournament last year and not claiming the title, getting an at-large bid, going ahead and getting into the NCAA Tournament, and the performance versus Florida, you know, and all the rumors that are behind that.
Sure.
And then we go down this year, you know, Vegas loses right in front of us. We get Wyoming to knock off Colorado. And here we are sitting there, you know, with a team that's, I think they won 9 games this year. And the Pack jumps out to a lead, John, and then.
Now they've won 9. They had only won 7 going in. No, they had only won 7 going into the tournament. 2 conference games all year. Now they've won 2 games. So, you know, hats off to them. But and you mentioned last year, they're both really bitter in different, vastly different ways. You knew that Pack team last year was going to go to the tournament regardless. But, you know, we had the delusions of Granger being a top 5 team and you know, dreaming of the Final Four and all that type of stuff. But last night, you know, not getting a bucket for over 10 minutes in the second half from the 14 mark to the 4 mark around there.
Same thing with the San Diego State game.
Yeah, exactly. They have these lulls, and when you live and die by the 3, you know, you're gonna die on that 3 too. It's a rough way to go. It's not my favorite style of basketball. Is just 3-pointers, 3-pointers, 3-pointers. It's great when they're going in, but it is just disgusting to watch when it's not. And it's
frustrating.
I don't know if there was a look ahead. It seemed that they might have been at a look ahead. They're up 10 in the second half against the team that they've beaten twice, although both very close games. It seemed like there was a little bit of cruise control there, but I you can't say that. We weren't there. We weren't playing. But my perception was, okay, we have this game in hand. We have Utah State on deck, and that's kind of where their mindset went. I don't know if that's true or not. Plus, you know, there's foul trouble with Lindsay and Jalen there, and it's just a getting out rebounded, I think, is the most telling stat by a team that is not a good rebounding team. That we
and they're tiny. It's kind of funny. Every time you saw a shot go up and off the backboard, like how does Wyoming even stand a chance? I mean, seriously, it looked like eighth graders against the varsity, you know, in terms of size. But somehow
Dennis Rodman will tell you,
and they would get some
rebounding. And I actually posted Dennis Rodman highlight film on our Facebook page today. Rebounding is 90% desire.
Yeah. I remember a famous, you know, interview he did once where, I mean, his numbers were so outrageous. I said, well, what's the secret to it? How is it? Because he's not even the biggest guy.
Desire.
Like, yeah, and he says, you know, it was kind of funny because it became also a famous quote. He said, you know what? He goes, I just go and get the damn ball. That's it. I just decide I'm getting the rebound, and that's what happened.
By any means necessary.
Well, look at Charles Barkley, too, John.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a small guy compared to what he was
He led the NBA in rebounding at under 6'5". Yeah. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyways.
It's positioning, it's desire.
So, John, what happened?
I think that there was a little bit of a look ahead. I think they underestimated Wyoming, thought, oh, we got a break here with not having to play Colorado State. Utah State, I was hoping that with the struggles that San Diego State and Utah State had, that their eyes had to be wide open right there. And I thought it was a little bit of cruise control that, you know, we're going to win because of the name on the front of the jersey. And as we've seen over the years with all these great Wolfpack teams, they've only won the conference tournament a handful of times when they were even the number one seed. So, I don't know. It was a bitter way to go out. We're still sitting at that 19 win level. I said that on the show last week. We're counting that 20 wins. We got a big road ahead of us. I didn't expect them to lose last night's game, but
I thought we'd get there once we went 3-1 in that last stretch.
That's what I thought for sure. Absolutely, yeah. Won 6 out of 7 games, and it's just I don't know. The way that if you've seen these press conferences with Lindsey Drew and Nisrae Zuzwa and Jazz, it sounds like they think their career is over, that there may not even be. I think the NIT bid is out the window, but the CBI, you know, that is a pay to play tournament. It doesn't sound. I'm just speculating, but if they don't, I think that they would want to play on, but I don't know.
I think that Robert, I'm going to turn this over to you next, but I would think that those seniors would want to go out with another opportunity to play at Lawler and maybe get this taste out of their mouth. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's any of the players, you know, listening. We appreciate everything you guys did this year. I mean, what a fantastic year, 19-win season, especially when you come back with you lose your coach, you lose all 5 starters, and every player was in the transfer portal at one point. I mean, it, still a successful season. Just a little bitter at the end, Robert.
No, exactly correct, right? And of course, we want to root for our kids. This is the Pack, so of course we want them to win. You take a look at their body of work, though, and you say, "Well, so you got yourself to 19 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing Wyoming, a game that you expect to win in what I guess is at the very least you could say your home state.
Yeah.
But what happened? I mean, was it just something? I mean, Hawk, you follow them closely.
Yeah.
Is it something that they just fell in love and just assumed that their three-point game was just going to be there every time? You know how good you have to be.
You have
to,
yeah.
To
you
be
have
to, nailing threes
you
every
have to be
single game.
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Well, exactly, and that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant. Unless that one season with Kevin
Durant. Right, right.
So I'm thinking if you're not going to be super efficient and hit your free throws and have all of that coming from your great guard play, you're going to find a failure somewhere.
Yeah. Robert, it's interesting, too, because you guys know the analytics that are all the rage these days. It's kind of like they all say, well, it's been discovered, or you know, crunch the numbers and everything. The most efficient shot you can take is an open three, and the least efficient is a post-up. But there's also the human aspect of it where it's like, yeah, when all the pressure's on, those three-pointers don't go down so easy. As we saw the Rockets with a Game 7 on their home floor miss 27 in a row and still lost to the Warriors by, like, 6 points. And you saw in these situations, too, where Nevada has that great analytical profile where they shoot the three well and also defend it well, that's great. But occasionally, yeah, when you're ice cold from the field, if you got someone who can score around the basket, there's something to be said for it. It's still a much easier shot. And the way college basketball went this year, they moved the line back.
Mm-hmm.
At first, all those unders were hitting because it really took. Now, it really does impact.
I don't really notice a difference now.
Right. And now it seems like people have adjusted, but it still impacts it to where – I mean, it reduces the field amount of guys who can regularly make it. I mean, it's a step back that it took a long time for the odds makers to adjust all the totals or whatnot. So I guess what I'm saying is you're just not seeing these games just quite the three-point fest that they used to be because it is a more difficult shot to make. And I feel like, to some degree, it sort of brings the post element back into the game that you kind of need, right?
Yeah.
But I just feel like last night was a bizarre thing because you couldn't really see a changing of the tide. Like, what's his name? Allen Edwards got a technical foul.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looked like, well, Wyoming's going to slug it out here, but yeah, they're probably going to lose by 5 or 6 points. But then it got to where, like a lot of these March games do, suddenly when it's a one-possession game, just a team that finds a way to make a couple shots wins it. They went like three, layup three, and that was it. And Nevada couldn't get anything.
The turning point was the interview with Cowboy Ken, the guy in the barrel that. And as soon as it honestly is, when you
he was disgruntled early.
Yeah.
He had like eight rows to himself because there was no Wyoming fans around him.
No, you want to sit by that guy?
No,
but yeah, no, it's just I'm just about it because this isn't life or death. It's really disappointing. They've had a successful season. I think they're even a little better than a lot of people thought they were going to be. I hope that they play on. I can't imagine these kids not wanting to play more, like you said, not wanting to go back to Lawler. And, CBI-wise, the community's proven they're going to go out and watch this team in the CBI.
Absolutely.
Disappointing as that is, I know they want to be a national brand, but that takes time to rebuild this back up. But I would hope that they would accept any bid granted to them.
Robert?
I mean, look, it even calls back to even – because the way I'm looking at everything, I can't help myself, is from a betting perspective, right?
Of course.
So just
that's what the show's all
exactly
about.
Exactly what happened in the Southern Illinois-Bradley game. Bradley's down pretty much the entire game. Mm-hmm. How do they come back to win? Drive the basket, hit your free throws.
Yeah.
That's what was missing last night with the Wolfpack.
Yeah, and I mean, Jalen Harris, he had a rough night shooting, but he did get to the line. He made, 14 free throws?
He did hit his free throws.
Yeah,
yes.
But other than that, he
of course, his foul out hurt, too. The last 2 minutes
it really
without
did.
Key.
It really did. And Lindsey had to sit out a lot. He had his fourth foul fairly early. And it just – I don't know. It was – Jalen wasn't Jalen, if that makes any sense, that his shots weren't going down. To Wyoming's credit, I think they did a good job on him, taking him away and making somebody else beat him, and nobody else beat him. You can say.
That's true. Well, what do you guys think? Because, down the stretch, we were talking about the way Nevada developed was impressive. They got that streak of, impressive wins at home and on the road, especially up at Lawler. They were just double figure, and it seemed like they were really coming together. This is a disappointing ending to that, but we all talked about how it was interesting this year with the pressure off and not any expectations of a Sweet 16 and all that to kind of watch them grow, and it seemed like they were peaking at the right time. To me, it just seems like a weird how that peaking hit. It was like a train wreck right at the end. It was going well. It was nice. It was developing really nicely down the stretch, and then just a sudden ending. And you can't help but think – if this is the end of the season, that comes with some kind of mixed feelings because this team was fun to watch.
Yeah.
But you wonder, with Steve Alford coming in to kind of replace the Musselman regime, given the talent and given what everything is up against, is this a fair result for the season? Is it a mild underachievement? Where do you leave it?
I think for From the opening tip-off perspective, it was a successful season. Yeah, yeah. I think that if you would have said, listen, you're going to get to 19 wins, you're going to have a chance to get to 20 wins in a possible NIT, I think we'd have taken it in a heartbeat. That, yeah. I said, as the season grew on, and, you know, our expectations grew. And I think as our expectations grew, obviously we were let down a little bit in the end.
That makes sense.
And I think there was a letdown with not being able to finish off that San Diego State game on Saturday, sure. Which I must say was the easiest bet I've ever made, was San Diego State -5.5 in the second half.
Oh, right. See, I didn't do the second half, but I remember we were all talking about it, and I truly did believe in it. And I had been on the wrong side of the pack some this year. I've been hit and miss with betting them, but you guys know last week I said, hey, the Wolfpack, they announced the line Friday night.
Yeah.
I said, +6. I love that thing. I would take it, pick them, like, what a gift. So I doubled up on both sides. It was rough. I mean, I took the money line for a nice chunk. I took those points. And then toward the end, I mean, you're dragging, like, wow, we couldn't even cover that.
I had a $1,500 ticket going to the pack on the money line parlay. It was a parlay. It was a $100 parlay.
I got you.
That paid that much.
I got you.
And then I also had another one that paid about $1,500 with the plus points. And so I go over
I did the same. Yeah. And I ended up, I saw it right toward the end.
Nick Bogdanovich lost his mind being a pack fan, and he just called me and just yelled for an hour and then
Lay off at the half?
Yeah.
We weren't sitting together.
A little bit. But I only had a couple hundred dollars invested in the game.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I had a, you know, out-of-pocket $2,000 straight bet.
Right. I went over to your seats and I was talking to Mr. Wilford, and I looked at the line. I said, well, I have no choice but to bet this. Pack was that? They were up 10 at the break?
Yeah. 2-1 on the money line right there. 2-1.
Exactly. And San Diego State -5.5. That was a no-brainer. I didn't like myself, but I liked my wallet.
All right. Well, let's head off to our first commercial break and come back. There's still two good games tonight. I mean, well, I want to talk about the San Diego State Boise game, and then I kind of have a hunch on the Utah State Wyoming game, and I'll give you guys that too, because I might make a man-sized wager on that game. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. No. I mean, if – the guy's a good-looking dude. He's like 20. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Well, all right. We're talking about Diego. He's looking.
He walked on the Truckee River to get here, I think. Classic Jesus
joke. You want to mic up Diego and take?
No, he's good. He's good.
Send some shots.
He's bright red now, though.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, our sound guy Diego is sitting next to me. He's a good-looking dude. He's got a. he's a skateboarder. Girls. We're embarrassing. Sorry. Anyways, right. Back to sports.
I think you're embarrassing yourself.
Look at Kowalski. Kowalski just going, what in the world am I getting on today?
It's been, all right. The show's changed a little bit since you've been gone.
Well, we did have a couple of beers and shots in the or a beer and a couple of shots during the break. So, all right, back to basketball. Congratulations, Wolfpack. Outstanding year. You know, sorry things didn't work out. I wish we could have gotten that victory last night. I'm really, really looking forward to the seniors, guys. Zuzwa, thank you very much, Scrizz.
Sixth man of the year.
Yeah, sixth man of the year. I just went blank on all the seniors.
Lindsey Drew,
thank you for everything that you did.
First and foremost, Lindsey Drew.
Yeah, Jazz Johnson, thank you so much. You know, I appreciate
Giancarlo.
It. Giancarlo Reyes, thank you very much. And, you know, and Jalen Harris, I know that you got all the talent in the world, and you could probably play for any college in the world. You know, I hope you do come back next year. And for selfish reasons, sir. And everybody else too, Millings and Meeks, KJ Hyams.
Meeks get better.
I can't wait to see Warren Washington. So everybody there. And I'm sorry if I forgot anybody. Coach Alford, thank you very much for everything that you did this year. And we look forward to a lot of years of success.
Let me spotlight.
I just wanted to give out those accolades, because I know that we're kind of disappointed in what happened, but we still appreciate you guys
for sure. And let me spotlight Lindsey a little bit. I've been watching Nevada basketball for.
He's set some records, John, that may never be touched.
He was such a glue guy for the last 5 years. Even though he didn't play last year, you could tell he was a big part of what they were doing, and I love that he was able to come back from two just horrible injuries, horrific injuries, and be such a contributor and such an unselfish, great teammate that'll fill the stat sheet. With whatever you need at that time. Like Coach Alford said, Lindsey, we may need you to score a little more. Remember, and he started off on fire, scoring 30-something points and 25 points the next time, something like that. And he's one of my favorite players ever. Deontay Burton's always probably going to be my favorite player in Wolfpack history. But Lindsey's really up there. And I hope that we can see Lindsey play. This isn't the last time we see him play.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And we look forward to a lot of more successful years. And the returners coming back and the newcomers coming in and Warren Washington, you know, coming. You know, I can't wait to see what he says. You know, the maturing of Millings and Meeks. And you know, I'm just excited. I'm excited all the way around. We got Cambridge. Is it Cambridge?
Desmond Cambridge.
Desmond Cambridge coming in. So it's the cover's not dry.
And there's some freshmen coming. I forget the kid's name from the Bay Area, but he's big time too. And it's just it's exciting. It really is. I think they're going to be back on the, they're already a top tier Mountain West team. I think they can be a top team in the West like they have been for quite some time.
Okay, now tonight's games. First game tonight in the Mountain West Conference. This would be the semifinals, correct?
Correct.
Boise versus San Diego State. They're kind of laying a chunk right here, Josh. Yeah. Did you fire up the mobile app? Where is this at right now?
134.
9.5, 134.5. San Diego State at home. Didn't play particularly well.
Well, in Vegas.
Well, excuse me, that's right. They're playing in Vegas. San Diego State didn't play particularly well last game. What did they end up winning by? What was
13.
It?
13.
But it was
73-60.
It was a late separation.
Yeah, they're trailing at the half. And
I can tell you right now.
Which is what they do.
I fired up my William Hill mobile app yesterday and got San Diego State at minus -5.
Yeah, I got the in-game at 6. I said, I'll take that. The in-game line for the rest of the game was minus -6. I'm like, come on.
Exactly.
It's going to have to be, I mean, bad beat to not make that. And let's face it, Air Force played out of their minds. San Diego State might have been a little sluggish, but Air Force, you're like 80% from three in the first half. I mean, you know that couldn't hold up. And yet they're still battling the rest of the way. It's kind of funny because I couldn't watch the whole thing. I had a work thing to do. And you're right, Ken, the separation was a little slow in coming, but then finally – checking the score in like 5 minutes after, oh, there we go. We're up double figures. And you knew there was no going back from that.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see the deflating of the Air Force and the San Diego State. San Diego State always has that run about the 10-minute mark. John, we talked about that too. We've talked about this many times where they always have that run late in the game.
They always do. They're so quality. And I remember at the pack was up by about 8. And I turned to our buddy Wadsworth, and I was like, this does not look like the number 5 team in the country. I'm probably going to regret saying this, but they really are.
It's impossible to hold them back. As much as I want to discredit them.
And they can hold you back.
How happy I was to get that UNLV win because of that profit. But every time, how many teams were ahead of them? It's like, even with the UNLV thing, it's like, what's it going to take to finish them all? Oh, up 15 with 5 minutes left, you might win by 1. I mean, maybe, right? So, and then you're fighting them off. And they just keep coming. I feel the same way. All year I've thought, well, they're not necessarily fraudulent, but do I really believe that they're this good? They are good. But I will say, if the mid-majors who are up top, I don't know how much attention you guys pay to the A-10. I'm convinced if it comes down to it, I think Dayton's actually better than San Diego State.
I think Dayton's
State.
Better. I think Gonzaga is better.
They both probably end up as 2s. Yeah. But they say if San Diego State sweeps the board here, if they end up, that they'll be a 1 seed.
Probably right.
It's still a 1 loss, pretty weak
and
1
for,
seed.
From a betting perspective, the one game that they did lose was the one where I had a nice bet on San Diego State just to win that game in the second half against the Rebs, but oh well, you can't win them all. Can't win any if you're me, apparently.
That's true. Robert?
You know, if you take a look and see what they did against Air Force, it's true. I mean, in the second half, with them stuck about 4, I think, that was the score. They were down 4 at the half. Put up a line of about 10. That was an easy grab. Even at 11, it was an easy grab. As it was, they covered the second half, not the game, but
It's a team you're comfortable in that situation betting on.
And not only that, just like Josh said, when you take a look at what Air Force did in the first half, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, lights out.
Simply couldn't be sustained.
They're not the 85 Villanova Wildcats. I almost called them vanilla.
The vanilla Wildcats, too.
Yes.
So tonight we have, like Josh said, 9.5 is the number. Boise State 20-11 on the year, 19-11 versus the spread. San Diego State 29-1. They're going for the 30th win tonight. I didn't realize that. They're 18-11 against the spread. As far as totals are concerned, 15-15 for Boise State, 14-14-1 for San Diego State. So the total probably not a value right there. San Diego State is undefeated away, 11-0. 14-1 at home, and they're 4-0 on neutrals. Some of the sharp guys that I do follow, they weighed in a little bit on Boise State tonight.
Yeah, I heard that's a popular play. This is the point in time, though. I still think you could be hanging on by a thread. I don't think I want to fade the Aztecs in this spot. And I know I've seen both of the previous games. They've had Boise's number. A lot of people predicted that undefeated start of the season, the Mountain West might go up in flames at Boise. I mean, they've dominated both matchups.
They killed them.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a good matchup for the Broncos. But one thing I do kind of like is I like the over a little bit, and here's why. Like you said, both teams were sluggish on offense a little bit for a while yesterday, right? It seemed like Boise State could have put away the Rebels and never really did. I mean, it seemed like they were comfortably ahead, but never led by more than, you know, 6 point difference at the end.
Yeah.
And but they shot poorly. So I looked it up today, doing some sports line research, and Boise State shot 36%, still won that game. San Diego State shot 50%, but early on their defense let them down, and they had some turnovers as well. And as much as you watch them in past years, they just had this reputation. As, oh, they just grind it out, and the physicality makes the difference, which it was. But this year with Malachi Flynn and all their options, San Diego State's better when they have some flow and a little tempo. When they get down there in kind of a secondary break, I feel like Boise could get a little flow going too. I just thought 134, like 70, 65 minimum to clip that. I actually think both teams are in the 70s.
They have a lot of nameless weapons, I guess you could say. It's not the the days of yore with Trey Kell and Hemsley and everybody else, where you know, you think of Malachi Flynn, and that's pretty much it. But they are so quality.
Matt Mitchell is a 3-year starter, double guy.
I'm just saying that it's not that you knew every. I think even not just if you're from Reno, people knew who the Martin twins were in Jordan Caroline. And they're stars in this game. They don't really have that outside of Flynn, is kind of what I'm saying. But it's such a quality.
But he's certainly taking a step back, because he was an assassin last year.
He really was. And
he lost what did he lose, like 20 pounds?
Yeah. That was like the key
thing. But anyway.
As much as I dislike Brian Dutcher, their coach, and I do, he's doing a hell of a job. He's taking what Steve Fisher built.
I just hate his face.
Expanding it on. Yeah. He was standing right. He was standing right next to us, Kenny, during the ceremony, the senior ceremony. He's standing right next to us. And I give him credit for paying respect at that point and clapping along for the guys. And he's standing right next to me. And Walt's like, what you tell him what you think about? I was like, eh.
This guy looks like a used car salesman. He does. Like, not an easy guy to root for. I don't know why. It's kind of funny, because when Steve Fisher left, I'm like, all right, this guy, longtime assistant, he'll do the thing where he just kind of rides the momentum, you know, run on fumes or what Fisher left him for a few years, and then we'll see if the guy can coach. And now it's like, okay. It's officially his program.
He can coach.
And they're getting 30 wins. I'm like, all right, exactly. I guess at some point you got to give it up to him.
For sure.
Robert?
I'm looking at.
Pull your microphone a little bit closer to your face. There you go. There you go.
Amateur move. When I take a look at San Diego State, and, you know, Josh, again, great point. I could definitely say that I could see San Diego State land somewhere in the 70s, just going off past performances and seeing what they've done head-to-head. I mean, third time's a charm, perhaps. I don't know. I wouldn't feel too comfortable having a Boise State plus points.
Give them a headache. I think it's going to be a sweat. I like that. That 9.5, I couldn't lay that.
All right.
Yeah, I think Boise gives him a sweat.
I think it's going to be a good spot to play Boise here, and then maybe come back with a Boise's not going to back down early, and San Diego State's been a notorious slow starter of late. You know, I think that if you like San Diego State, if you do have the William Hill mobile app or the William Hill brick and mortar, you can actually I think you're going to be able to get a better number on San Diego State. So.
Yeah.
Josh?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I think I'm going to lay off. We'll see what develops in-game. Of course, it's one of those things where, especially if they start slow again and trail a little bit at halftime or it's high, you might get that best in-play number like we did yesterday with Air Force. It's worth knowing, because there was 17. They didn't get anywhere near the original number, but it's pretty sweet when you got down to just laying, you know, 5 or 6 there. Might get the same thing tonight where if they're trailing, maybe you get 4.5 or 5, and I'd look at that. But, again, like I said, I expect the offenses. Every single game so far in the Mountain West has gone under. You've just seen that typical kind of half-court overcoach kind of play, poor shooting. The teams that are better tend to pick it up in the second game, right? They've got a little rhythm, and they tend to play better as the competition goes up. And I just think we're going to see a little more open court, especially I think Boise needs to do it as well. As overmatched as they've been, I think it befits them to go quickly, because guys like Jessup, their key scorers, they're not great in the half court.
Sure.
They're better when they get like kind of a delayed transition type of thing. So I just think we're going to see it sped up a little bit. The overs, I've already bet it here on the app, and I released the play on Sportsline, so I like it quite a bit.
No, we're talking about the San Diego State slow starts. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when they were in Boise, San Diego State started off pretty from the jump.
At Boise, they nailed them wire to wire.
Wire to wire.
They were up like 15 at the half, I think. Yeah.
Because I was thinking that at the time. I was like, oh, they've been slow start. And they just jumped.
Oh, you know what?
Right,
but like Utah State, for instance, I think they trailed San Diego State. I think they trailed Utah State by 8 at home and came back and covered it and won the thing by 12. So right, that second half blitz is just – so thus far, it's basically unstoppable that they've got. I'm curious to see, by the way. I'm curious to see how it looks
when
San Diego State does play a Villanova or somebody in the NCAA tournament. Do they still, you know, have that in them? I mean, or I'm just curious to see how that looks on a big stage. because we haven't seen him much.
That's why that tournament's the greatest thing in sports in my mind. So you can see that type of stuff. Who's the real deal and who's not?
By the way, they had some decent non-league games or whatever, but still against second-tier, like Creighton, who's having a really good year.
Yeah, yeah.
San Diego State beat them up real good in the preseason tournament. But again, Creighton, you know, a decent Big East team. I just want to see, you know, obviously San Diego State against Michigan State. You know, what does that look like? But
that's a good call right there.
And the late game. How much time do we have right here? 36? Oh, we only got about 2 minutes. Let's talk. I kind of look at this game like I was Andy Juros, a buddy of ours that bets a lot of sports. He's listening to the show, and he said the kind of same thing. He took San Diego State Boise in the first half. I think he got +6, and that's a pretty good number. I mean, I
think it is too. I like your thinking there, Andy. The only thing was the last time that they went wire to wire was right against Boise, so I think they're confident in the fact that they can jump out at this point. But I like you thinking there, and I probably am going to do the same thing.
So I like it. I mean, I think San Diego State is going to be around in the game, but I do have a big opinion on the next game. So, Robert, if I had to ping you down for some money out of your pocket, where are you going to play it?
Boise, San Diego State?
Yeah.
I would probably look towards heading towards Boise State in the first half, wait for second half wagering, and then, well, fire the other way.
Fire in the hole. Love it, right, Josh?
All you got to do to fire up that app.
All you have to do
is your action.
And you can download the William Hill mobile app. Still plenty of time. www.williamhill.us. And this game actually tips off, if I'm not mistaken, in about 23 minutes.
It's a 6 o'clock tip.
6 o'clock game. And it should start on time, obviously, because there's only two games, late games here. I'm kind of messed up because the Mountain West Conference tournament's a week earlier this year.
Yeah.
Right. We're not with all the major conferences and championship weekend. Weird.
It is a little weird, but I don't know. These are two teams I truly, truly despise.
All right.
The good news is, though, Ken, we're the highest profile of the mid-majors, so he gets a little more national press and stuff. See what I mean? I mean, Big South, all those
Gonzaga.
people are playing now.
Now.
By having the jump start a week ahead.
Pretty exciting. So I guess it's safe to say, then, the Mountain West is going to have the first official team in the tournament?
First automatic qualifier, or one of them.
Doesn't the Ivy League have the automatic no conference tournament?
No, they have a conference tournament.
They have a tournament.
It's very quick. It was funny because of the demand. They have only the top four, and they play in one day. It's like 1-4 versus 2-3, then those two teams. And
that day?
It. No, I mean it's a two-day tournament. Saturday, Sunday.
I was gonna say,
it would be if I take an hour break.
Yeah, I love that.
What is this, softball?
But more or less, it's pretty close.
just like at the gym, guy. Run it back.
They finally developed it a few years ago. It's like, you know what? First place the bid, which they used to do. Let's have something resembling March Madness.
All right.
Four teams.
All right. Late game, Utah State versus Wyoming. We're going to head off to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to run down that game. Like I said, I have a big opinion on this game. ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel and John the Hawk Stevens. What do we got here? Valparaiso, Loyola, Illinois, moving to a 9-point game. I am laying 5 in this game. It's 46-55 with 7 minutes left. Oh, goodness. St. Peter's and Iona. Oh, wow. These games are tight. All right. Robert Kowalski, he had to go take a meeting. So thanks for Robert. Thanks for being on the show.
Good to see you, Robert.
Yeah, good to see you. All right, Hawaii, Utah State, and Wyoming. You know, John, like you said, Wyoming's 9-13 right now, and that's with two wins in the conference tournament. So they were 7-23, two games. They were 19-12 against the spread. Utah State started off the year gamebusters, some big wins early, kind of got into a lull. I was very surprised that they ended up with 8 losses, but. This is the third game. What's the number right now, Josh? 15.5?
Correct.
So 15.5. Okay. 15.5. This is Wyoming's third game in a row. This is their fourth game in 7 days. I mean, you look at Utah State, and this team is just absolutely due to explode. I mean, I just think the only way Wyoming can compete in this game is if they're well rested. I think that they spent a lot of emotion in the second half yesterday. Like I said, this is their third game in a row.
Yep.
You know, coming they beat Colorado State 2 days ago, beat Nevada last night, and now they're going up against a Utah State team that's not going to sneak up on Utah State now, Hawaii or not Wyoming. Yet. And I'm with you guys. I'm going to make a pretty large wager on this, and I'm going to lay the 15.5 points on Utah State. I think from start to finish, we talked about the Nevada being a jump shooting team. Okay, first of all, Wyoming absolutely cannot match what Utah State has inside.
No.
They're probably the best big team in the conference.
For sure.
And if those threes don't go down, this
and
is
they don't. They don't. They're not a. They're a volume shooting three team, but they're not shooting three team. And we have a saying on here. Sometimes you stretch that rubber band.
Yep.
A little bit until that rubber band snaps. And I think that's right where Wyoming is right now. Beating Nevada is big for that program. That's a name thing, regardless of where we are and who we root for. That's big for that program. And you can see, because that's a really, really young team, that they're going to be trouble here in a couple of years. I think that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. It ends tonight, and it ends in ugly fashion, I believe. Utah State, Kenny made the point. They're not going to be surprised by anything at this point. They just snuck by last night. They're not going to be surprised by Wyoming at all. I think I don't like laying 15 in conference tournaments typically, but this is one exception I'm going to make.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's still, no matter what, all those factors being relevant, still a ton of points against a team that loves to just muddy it up. Wyoming's going to try to slow the pace down, and that's their way of, you know, competing. And it's still a big hill to climb. But we talked about Utah State, and it was a little surprising because, let's face it, they were the consensus number one team in the conference, not San Diego State. Everyone back.
Yeah. Merrill was, you know, supposed to be the player of the year.
Player of the year.
It's Stu Merrill. Sam Merrill, sorry.
Stu, that'd be quite an impressive feat.
That would be
awesome. Enough.
Okay. But they
and no relation.
But nonetheless, I mean, with all those starters back and a strong finish last year, I was surprised they started conference year with three straight losses and blowouts to not great teams. And it was kind of crazy. But if you kind of wrote them off, you realize toward the stretch run there, they did well. Utah State had won six in a row before the final, and you know who they lost to? They lost to New Mexico by 2 points. So I'm thinking
almost
last night.
Again.
That's why I played them last night, thinking, oh, you know what? They got their wake-up call. They lost that final game of the year, still managed the number two seed. I'm like, watch, they'll knock them out. And you guys saw what? Utah State went up like 15 on them, like immediately, and then somehow the game was tied at halftime, and then it went down to the wire. But so you keep looking for, you know, versions of that team that we saw toward the end of last year and that still hasn't quite shown up. Having said that, let's face it. Well, given the situation you mentioned with Wyoming, that many games, that many nights, this is a gift in the semifinals. And they should take advantage of it as such and get to that championship game, which gives them a chance to return to the NCAA tournament.
Unless they have the same mentality that the Wolfpack had last night, I believe. Oh, we have Wyoming. We can just roll the ball on the floor. We're Utah State.
You know, a couple of stats. Let's look at this real quick. You know, Utah State, they average 76.7 points a game. That's 42nd in the entire country. Rebounding, guys, rebounds, 37.7 a game. That's 8th in the entire country.
Yeah, Quintus is such a difference maker. When he was out this year, that's when Utah State was struggling. So he's back and he's in full effect. He's the best big man in the league, bar none.
All right, my bonus is in. I'm gonna do it right now.
Look at that.
I got a wager I got to make. And then turnover to assist, Utah State is 1.3 turnover to assist, which is – phenomenal. That's 17 in the country, Josh.
Yeah, and they have, you know, the experience and the analytics. That's why I still don't understand exactly how you could attribute all their struggles. At the bottom line is, it's still not a bad year. Still the second seed. It's not like it was a disaster, but I think we all expected a little more out of them. And when Utah State's on their game, I just feel like, say they get past tonight, I mean, that's the team. To me, Utah State, San Diego State, because those were competitive games, right? San Diego State, I remember, was like a three-point dog at Utah State the first one. Couldn't get it done. San Diego State pulled it off. I think it was a three-point game. As I mentioned earlier, the second one, Utah State had them on the ropes but couldn't, you know, fend off that second-half blitz. But okay. I think on a neutral court, I think they've got the ability to beat the Aztecs.
Okay.
Now, give us a two-bid league.
We talked about where Utah State is in national rankings. How many teams do they say are in 300 and what is it, 360?
350-ish.
350? Yeah, okay. Wyoming's ratings on the entire country, points per game, 61.1. That ranks 346th.
Mm-hmm.
Rebounds per game, 26.9, 351st.
Which is the point I made in the game
turnovers
last night.
To assist, 0.8, 305th.
Yeah.
Blocks per game, 2. 330th. My whole point here is that this rubber band should have broke last night.
Yeah.
This, John, I I've never felt so strong about a game that I really think that – I mean, you've got a Utah State team who's ranked in the top half of points and rebounds. And then this other team that's – they're in the 300 in all these categories. You can, and your brother, you know, some of the things that Marco used to say, you can only play on emotion for so long.
Yeah.
Isn't this – even the emotional tank, does it almost have to be dry?
Yeah, I would think so that the Nevada win is a culmination. I mean, if you can beat Utah State, then what are we talking about? Then you're really you're in business. But that's never going to happen. That is never going to happen.
I mean, theoretically, it'd be hilarious. Wyoming took the automatic bid.
You know how bad I want that to happen?
Yeah,
I mean, love it. But it's just man, it's the just to go back to the Pac game real quick. The fact that the Pac got out rebounded, I think it was the most telling stat of all, with the desire, the want to, the whatever it took, the Pac just didn't have it at that point. But this game in particular, Kenny, I'm with you. This rubber band is about to snap, and I think Utah State from the jump controls it and absolutely makes a statement, gets that win, puts it away, and gets ready for San Diego State.
Absolutely. I really think that. I mean, I don't think on the back end, and it's probably this comment's probably going to come back and bite me. I just don't think on the back end that that Wyoming at the end is going to have enough for the backdoor cover.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I kind of dismiss the win against Colorado State as that. Those are big time rivals. That's a rivalry game. Crazy things happen in rivalry games. Okay, great. And then they play a Wolfpack team that they went to the wire with twice. Ended up beating them, coming on the flip side of that. This has nothing to do with any of that. Utah State buries this team.
I think so, too. So, I really do. That's where my money's going. I know a lot of it. Nick said that I was talking to Nick McDonovich today, the head trader for William Hill, bookie trader, whatever you want to call it. And he said that it seems like a lot of points. He says, but he's kind of on the same opinion. He doesn't want to weigh in on the game financially, but he said that Utah State is the only side he would have.
Yeah.
You know, so I like to talk, you know, his philosophy. Nick's one of the best college basketball handicappers in the world.
Yes.
And he's strong. So I'm right there, guys. I really think that this is going to be one of those games at Utah State from the gun. And if Wyoming does not hit shots, they might be covering 15 by halftime, Josh.
I know. Could Josh. Be. I mean, that's it's a tough one, Ken. Like you mentioned, I mean, the idea that Utah State is just primed to blow them out, I mean, I would agree with. I just think, you know, Wyoming's tough to create separation from. If you have, Ken, by the way, that total to me almost seemed a little high. I believe last I checked was 151.5. I was almost thinking under just for the same, more or less same reasons you are. I'm not sure Wyoming has it in them to keep pace. I mean, I suppose, right, Utah State could get it like 90-60 or something. But I'm thinking they blow them away and Wyoming might struggle to break the 60 mark tonight.
Man, I just
– because they're pretty limited offensively.
Kenny, let me give props to our troll Nick Fisher on our Facebook page. He did call out
– But did he mean it?
He did call out Wyoming money line. I'm going to give
but
him –
But did he mean it?
I'm going to give him his props. And then I responded earlier. I said, good call. No chance he bet it, though. And he had responded. Well, maybe he did respond. Oh, here we go.
How do I make a
– Yes, I did. Right. Already cashed my ticket.
Pictures already right. Didn't happen.
You already cashed your ticket. That's very, very convenient. There's a trolling, and then there's posting the ticket. Here's
right,
what
you
I bet.
Take a screenshot off the app. Or, of course, you made that kind of call if you bet at brick and mortar.
Yeah.
Snap one with your phone before you
because
cash
he,
that stuff.
Because he tends to do that for most of these games. But, yeah, no, you nailed it, Nick. Good job.
I just made a $200 wager. A $200 parlay. I bet over. You can sweat this for me, listeners. I bet the first game over 134.5. That's the game between who's the first game?
Boise,
San Diego State. Uh-huh. And the second game, I bet minus 15.5 Utah State. So a $200 two teamer. $200 two teamer.
For you, Ken. You know the first one's my favorite play of the night, and I'll probably do the same. I've got this over bet straight. I might have to do the same parlay.
Wow. Don't be scared.
I know.
Josh doesn't like laying 15, I'll tell you.
I know you like to duplicate those. Sometimes you'll duplicate my big UFC parlay, so now I'll just return the favor.
All right.
And we'll sweat the same gamble.
So that's the
I'm going under and
exactly.
The Cowboys.
Well, come on, John. You can't do that to us. And that game tips off.
Why? I don't win.
That game tips off after the 6 o'clock game between the Utah State Wyoming at about 8:30 is what they have right here. That's San Diego State. Davidson plays. I actually play Davidson in this game real quick, just for the listeners. This game tips off in about 6 minutes. Davidson versus VCU. I got Davidson at -4, Josh.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Both teams are kind of inconsistent. Can I put it this way? I think VCU is a letdown. Like, I've had them a couple times. They should have been motivated. They were, like, second, third place in the league, looking, needing those games to build the resume, things like that. And VCU's lost every single one of them, so I've lost faith in them. Having said that, Davidson's a little bit inconsistent too. But you know what? At home, they're pretty reliable. I think that's probably the correct play.
They sure had no problem with Wolfpack at home.
That's for sure.
That's the only basis.
I follow them up and down
that.
In the A-10, and it's just weird. Like, they've lost to some lesser teams, and they've shown up against some good ones as well.
So of these posts tonight, Josh and John, real quick, but we don't have a lot of time if we have to go off the traffic. But of the four posts tonight, well, the side and total on the two Mountain West Conference games, what's your best comfort level?
Utah State minus 15.
Isn't that crazy? Here we are.
Yeah, something I would never say.
John, we're going to lay 15 on a neutral.
On a neutral with a team I just despise. I despise every team in the Mountain West, but good Lord, I hate
Utah Josh.
State. So you're wearing cahoots. I told you I
Josh just fired at the mobile
not
app.
Not quite the same amount, but that's substantial.
Yeah, 100, over 134.
Josh, your phone is a lot bigger than Kenny's, by the way.
Yeah, well, I just, because I have to, mine's, well, I don't know.
So I just placed,
I have no comment for parlay. Josh, where's your comfort level real quick?
Told you, the over in the first one's still my favorite play.
The over in the first one?
Yeah.
Just use this.
Boise and San Diego State.
All right. I'm excited. You know, I'm really excited about these conference games. You know, I almost went down to last minute yesterday to watch the Pac play, and boy, I would have been really, really.
Ooh.
But you know what?
I was wondering. You caught the red eye. You were hemming and hawing on it.
$300 one way. For plane tickets, it was 278 before all the taxes.
Just worry about getting the box for Garth Brooks.
All right, good deal. Let's head off to our last our traffic commercial break. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to the William Hill Racing Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Ken Barler had to step away momentarily, so for the time being, Josh Nagel, John Stevens, with you. And as Ken mentioned before, UFC 248 tomorrow night from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas will be shown here at the Club Calneva for free. If you haven't come down before for these events, it's just pretty cool. Again, they have it every single screen in the big casinos, got the fights, no strings attached, no cover fee or drink minimum, whatever. You come down and watch those. But let's talk a little bit about the main event. So you have some middleweight title fight with Israel Adesanya, who just won it last October against Robert Whittaker, against Yoel Romero. Yeah, I think we mentioned this a little bit last week, but it's kind of an interesting matchup because Adesanya is kind of the new hot star. If you haven't heard of him, he's 18-0. Just joined the UFC like not even two full years ago. Won his first fight, and he was talking about how he was going to win the championship. He's kind of rubbing some people the wrong way. He's won his first seven UFC fights and now is the middleweight champion. And he's got a lot of comparisons, fighting style-wise. The ones you hear the most, basically Anderson Silva and John Jones. And here's why. He's got kind of the slickness.
Nobody big.
He's got the he's got the athleticism of Silva and sort of the arrogance of Jones. It's kind of that combination that spawns.
Silva's got
the
some
comparison.
Arrogance himself, though.
And yeah, and it's kind of funny. But here's the thing, John. Like, so far, because you know I don't like hype guys at all, so yeah. I don't really want to like Adesanya. And yeah, he's hard not to like. His skill is definitely there. I mentioned last week, I believe, Yoel Romero's the 42-year-old. I mean, it's kind of funny. If you see these guys, because they both had to weigh in at 185 today, right? Most, quote-unquote, middleweights in the UFC would be 200 pounds or more. But Adesanya looks like he's 160 pounds soaking wet. Romero looks like he's about 225. So it's funny. You'll see him in the octagon tomorrow night, and you'll think it's like UFC of the old days where guys from different weight classes where it was basically, quote-unquote, open.
Yeah.
And it just didn't, you know, they didn't even have, you know, divisions because so that's what you've got. I mean, Romero's just this huge, hard-punching guy. That I saw some stats today that's pretty crazy. I mean, it's so hard to fight the guy. He's so powerful that pretty much everyone he enters the octagon with ends up with damage. Like they said, of his last nine opponents, like seven of them took more than a year off before their next fight.
Israel?
This is for Romero. Oh. And seven of them were also knocked out in their next fight. So it just shows that the guys are like literally never the same after they fight Yoel Romero. Adesanya, again, so he's the flashy guy. He's the one who went to Robert Whittaker, former champion, hometown in Australia, and knocked him out in the second round after doing the choreographed dance routine that I mentioned. No one's seen anything like it. His entry was like a Dancing with the Stars tryout. Like he had a full set of dancers behind him. Seriously, spent like 10 minutes getting to the ring. And you know
like
me,
Apollo like, Creed.
I can't stand the circus show, so I'm rooting for the guy to lose. And then he backs it up. And so like I said, it's an interesting stylistic contrast. And the number one contender is out right now. It's a Brazilian guy named Paulo Costa. He's out injured. He's who's supposed to be next in line. And Adesanya said, you know what, I don't want to be a guy who holds up the division. I want to be an active champion, so give me who's next in line. And that's Romero. So it's a scary thing. So, like I mentioned, I'm warming up to Adesanya because, like I said, I don't want to like him, but he's doing everything right, and he's defending the title when a lot of guys would have just laid back and waited for the right guy.
You know, Romero right now is a big dog. He's minus 290. The total rounds is 3.5 with the under minus 120. He's 13-4, Josh, and like you said, Israel is 18-0. But the thing about the thing I was looking up is Romero's lost 3 of his last 5 fights.
Four. But the thing is
– what's that?
And the thing is – most of them were controversial decisions. For
okay, three
worth.
Of his last four.
Last one, Paulo Costa, pretty much everyone thought he
both
won.
Correct.
That was a tough one. And his other losses, he fought Robert Whittaker twice. And when Whittaker was champion, I can tell you, I watched both of those. Five-round wars, and they both could have gone either way. So that's a little misleading.
And Israel's last fight was against Whittaker, and he knocked him out in the second round.
Right. So it shows you the common opponent thing for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd be looking to maybe take let's see if we can make a little parlay here and maybe take the favorite and under, you know, carve into that minus 290 and that minus 120.
Yeah, it's a tough one, like I said, because Ramirez, that's the thing. He's got the brute power, but he's got to get a hold of you first. And Adesanya is so agile and quick. I just don't see Romero really catching up to him. But if he does, it's over because he's got that kind of power. And again, Adesanya is a naturally smaller guy. But I anticipate, Ken, that he'll just be able to run the circles around him, do his thing, like sort of in the John Jones style, sort of a low-risk approach to winning the fight. So I would actually consider Israel and the over because I actually think it probably goes all five. He doesn't really have – he knocked out Whittaker, but Romero's just a tank. Nobody takes him out, so –
yeah, let's see Israel's last TKO knockout last fight, a unanimous decision, TKO and unanimous decision. So three of his last five fights have went the distance.
Right.
And they were two of the decisions were 5-round fights, and one of the decisions was a 3-round fight.
Right. And last year his biggest fight, the Whittaker one was huge, but the one that really put him on the map was the prior one, which was 5 rounds against Kelvin Gastelum, which a lot of, again, that was a very close decision as well. But that was a similar matchup where it was sort of the finesse guy versus the slugger. And he held his own, and Kelvin Gastelum landed a lot of hard shots. I mean, that was a pretty epic fight, but it goes to show you that Adesanya could take a shot.
John?
I got nothing.
What about the co-main event?
Yeah, again, that's a women's, I want to say, strawweight championship.
That's
and
right.
That's the one who was – the girl just won it, the first Chinese UFC champion ever. Her name's Zhang Weili, and she's fighting Joanna Jędrzejczyk, who's been a 2-time champion.
You're really good at pronouncing names.
Really
well,
is.
I watched the broadcast so I could get this right. But,
wow.
Yeah, it's tough. It's alphabet soup.
You're regular John Miller.
International names. But anyhow, Weili is
– 20-1.
Yeah, and Ken, she lost her first fight ever. She's won 20 straight. And she's the one who's knocking everyone out. They're saying for that weight class, which is women's, I want to say 115 or 125 pounds, they're saying she's the strongest there's ever been in the division, which is believable. You know, Joanna's come back. She's a 2-time division champion, including strawweight, and she's just taken on everybody that there is in the division. So, you know, that's a tough one. But the reason why you see Weili favored like that, Ken, is because most people believe that just her power can't be contended with, which makes some sense. But I would think Jędrzejczyk, somewhat live underdog.
Minus 220, Weili. And the total rounds in this is 4.5 with the over minus 145. You know, you tend to see the female bouts, higher round totals with the over being heavily shaded.
This is true, except the one thing, and for whatever reason, because they tend to be more technical, they tend to be more about the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling, whatever. You see a lot of them go the distance. But in this specific one, where one fighter is identified as having the real power edge, most people think if Weili wins, it would be by TKO. That's one I would consider under. I wouldn't be surprised to see a quick ending to that.
All right, we'll do that.
In her last couple, if you look at her record, I think her last few have been first-round knockouts, so...
Real quick, Josh, let's look at the – is there anything else on this card that really – I know you got – this is one of your areas of expertise.
If there's a fight that I do like that I don't see on here, Ken, it's weird. Oh, I was going to say, okay, because it's down on the list. It's a main card fight that's listed on the prelims. But actually, it's Max Griffin against Alex Oliveira, which both of them are kind of struggling. They both had their moments. A lot of people believe this is what they call a loser leaves town bout, meaning – both guys on losing streaks. The loser of this one might get caught by the promotion. You never know, though, because if Dana White, he doesn't care. Like, if he really thinks you're good and entertaining, he'll let you lose 4 or 5 and keep your job. But because of that, I think Griffin's the better fighter. This is a guy I've seen several times from Sacramento, kind of a local guy, kind of a late starter because I think he's 34 now. But, man, the guy's been in some wars. He's lost some real close decisions. And he's got a well-rounded skill set. And I think at plus, when you get the plus money on Max Griffin, I think that's a good value right there.
All right.
Yeah, those type of fights, I'd like to take the plus money no matter what.
Where's Jesse James been, our resident MMA guy?
Right, so he could slam the Facebook feed and just
I love the rivalry.
All my picks. Well, where's he been, though, Ken? You mentioned you haven't seen him in a while. Why do I deserve grief over that? Just mentioning that that's what the guy used to
It kind of comes with the territory when you go out there and you put your opinions out there for everybody to hear. All of us.
I do it for a living, Ken. Yeah. There's a thing I'm saying. My stuff gets out there. I get trolled all the time. I don't mind if somebody, you know, disagrees. I'm just saying, by and large, with Jesse James, I got the best of our disputes.
I can't believe I've never trolled you.
You're going to make a ghost account?
Yeah, I'll make a ghost account and just light up Jazz Nagel over here.
Jazz one. Or the last.
You can get all Josh's stuff on Sportsline. Tell them where to get your stuff, Josh.
You just did, Ken.
That's it?
Sportsline, sportsline.com.
Josh is on tilt.
Yeah, Josh on tilt. Sportsline. Yeah, sorry, Josh. Don't fire out at me. Jesus, criminy. Sportsline.com, you can get all Josh's stuff. You better stop shaking your head. You're going to come back in the sin bin. Diego, you want to mic up for the last half?
Yep.
We're getting ready to go one down.
Hey, who snapped the Stu Merrill jokes, Ken? I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one snapping.
Hey,
tonight.
I don't care. Fight-wise, you had something really, really interesting that we were talking about before.
The boxing?
Yes.
Yeah, so, Ken, I don't know if you heard, but they just actually everything's in place because Deontay Wilder signed his thing for the third match, the rematch clause. They've already got the date and everything set. William Hill came out with the price today. Remember what my guesstimate was? I said, hey, I bet you Fury's minus two. It's even minus 265.
Deontay.
Tyson Fury's
Deontay all day.
Yeah, Deontay Wilder in the third rematch is plus 225. William Hill, U.S. right now.
What?
Yeah.
What about the rounds?
It's a real thing.
10.5?
But check not your yet. Fire up your app right now. See, I don't think they have a
Hold
round.
Hold on, listeners. I'm going to fire up my app.
I don't think they have a round prop just yet, but they just came out with the price. I think it was yesterday. I think I saw it last night. Same one as today. And I think for sure, if you want to get in on the action with Deontay Wilder, bet it now. I mean, I can't believe we've gone from pick 'em on basically both. Because the very first one, Wilder was a short bet, like minus 130, Fury plus 110. Well, as we know, the second one, you know, Wilder ended up a slight favorite. This one, I mean.
I know there's no date yet.
I can't. No, it is. It's July 18th.
Okay, I know, July 18th? I know there's a date now.
Yeah. Tyson Fury, what did you say it opened up at?
It's minus 265.
It's still 265 plus 225.
Yeah.
Goodness sakes alive.
I got to jump on Deontay Wilder.
Of course you got to jump on Wilder and take a shot there. If he comes in and knocks him out, they're going to have another fight. It's going to be draw, win, win. This is like Rocky and Apollo. Josh. It's great.
Again, it goes to show you, Ken, how much influence does what we just saw have? We're like, oh.
If there's one fighter that has a puncher's chance, it's Deontay Wilder.
And as we mentioned last week, I really think just the general narrative that's out there now, like, oh, we don't need to see this. Fury's shown he dominates him. I disagree with. Yeah. And only because I still believe Wilder won the first fight and rather handily. Two knockdowns. I thought he also won at least seven rounds on top of it. In my mind, it's a 1-1 match, and it's time to go to the tiebreaker.
I'm more intrigued by it. I really am more intrigued by it.
It's kind of funny, too, because I still, like most people, John, I still like, oh, what seems like the onslaught of Wilder excuses and, oh, he didn't go out on his shield. He's going to fire his trainer and the heavy costume and all that. I don't like how much he's going on and on about that. But having said that, I'm still in his corner on this because I just don't like how quickly everyone's turned on him.
Where's Anthony Joshua
and
all this?
Come back. He's still a decent fighter.
Yeah, Anthony Joshua, he's sitting there going, gee, when do I get paid?
Well, that was an automatic rematch clause, though, so I just think
I know.
Him against Fury would be the next one.
Yeah.
Well, or maybe.
And for what it's worth, Ken, I saw some sports books give some look-ahead lines on that, by the way, and they priced Fury the same way. Against Joshua, they had Fury minus 250
That's
and Joshua
man.
Plus $2. Wow. I'm not sure I agree
I like,
with that.
I like Tyson line. Fury. I thought that he really showed himself. That was pretty cool. I didn't expect it to be this much, Ken.
Yeah, no, I did not either. I absolutely did not. You know, as much as we like to wager, I think that we had all said something. We were talking about it being right in the rounds of Fury minus 130, 140. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Wow.
I figured, given what happened, I figured they would jack it up to minus $2. I said, you know what, Fury's everyone's got the hype behind him now. I was like watching the rematch. I thought it'd be minus two, like plus 170 type of thing, but. When I saw that actual price that William Hill's offering, I mean, kind of surprising, but I just think huge, huge overlay on Wilder, who still, despite not just the power and everything else, he still, you know, has some skills. I mean, you can question the opposition for his first 42 fights, and that's fair. The same thing with Fury, who hasn't fought anybody until Wilder came along.
All right. Let's give an update real quick and then go off to our last commercial break. Looks like the Boise State, San Diego State at 15:08. San Diego State 9, Boise 7. So keep scoring, boys. Keep scoring. All right. Yep. Let's head off to our last commercial break. Be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right. Welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens, and a special thanks to Robert Kowalski. We didn't get his horse picks. We got to get his horse picks because the Derby's coming up.
Well,
all
we
right,
got
here
his
we go.
Virtual horse picks.
Virtual, yeah. 12. Get in there. 12:10 at the 14-minute mark. We got this game over. Let's go. Up
not,
and down.
Not the best
track
pace.
Track
yet,
me.
But hopefully.
What do you mean not? It's on a 160 clip. It's not on the best pace. What are you talking about? That's on a 160 clip. 10, 20,
I think your math's a little off.
No, you want to wager? 10 points per every 5 minutes by each team is a 160 clip. I will wager whatever you want.
Yeah, it's not. It's
not?
It's a 14-minute mark now. There we go.
Josh, it's on a – okay, never mind. You can do the math. John, I'm right. Tell him that.
Can you two not see that you're in love with each other?
Jesus.
See, yeah. Ken accuses me of being grumpy. I think it's the other way around.
You guys are
tonight.
Both on
tonight,
one
tonight. He's had a bit
let's
of an
go.
Edge to him.
Listen, let's get back to – picking on Diego.
Okay.
All right. Josh.
There's a mic open now, Diego.
There we go.
What else is going on this weekend, Josh?
Well, one thing I was curious, I just was looking at the William Hill app here. And
I got something I want to talk about.
Thinking if there was odds on all the conference tournaments, maybe you could get them going, like the big conferences, maybe scalp some value. They don't have – I guess they're not going to announce them until the pairings are made, which makes sense. But just out of curiosity, I went and checked out the NCAA tournament odds and been wondering if there's value to be found there. I was a little disappointed, but Kansas is the clear favorite, 6-1. Bums me out because I think they're the best team, but that's a bad price. I could have taken it earlier this year.
That
like
team's
nine,
a beast,
nine,
by the way.
9-1, I know. And at full strength. I think they're the deserved – I mean – you see, you know, kind of fringe, you know, underdogs win it all the time. But this is the year where I think there's a pretty big gap to me between, like, the top four and the rest. For instance, San Diego State, who we're watching now, same exact odds as Seton Hall at 20-1. Shows you the odds makers don't even believe in the Aztecs going all the way. I don't either. But it's sort of your middle of the pack value teams go. As they always seem to come on strong. Like Michigan State, it was funny. They were the preseason number one and the favorite. They went through that stretch. They always do because I think Izzo just grinds them down and they have that slump.
Josh, I'm going to think Ohio State to win the Big Ten.
But they usually come back. And, John, I'm just saying right now, Michigan State to win it all is 14-1. I think that's a good one.
Well,
I want
to
fire on that.
I was listening
No odds yet on the conference tournament.
I was listening to a show this year.
I'm still going to think Ohio State.
I was listening to a show a few weeks ago, Josh, and they focused on – they were the unanimous preseason number one.
Yeah, they were like 5-1.
Oh, yeah.
So now you've got 14. I say I want to hit it before it. I mean, right now I'm going to bet it this weekend for sure, at least a couple hundred, because in no time at all, that Michigan State watch the brackets get announced. They're going to be back down to 6-1
from preseason number one to unranked.
Yes.
Right, and deservedly so, because at one point they lost like 6 games in a row. I mean, they're still not going to win the Big Ten regular season, but who cares? Like they're going to. They're still. You could tell now the last few games, and they, you know, they beat Iowa at home. They came back from 20 down against Penn State the other night.
Yeah. What?
So they're in the They're in their March form, with that toughness.
What a fraud Maryland is.
Oh, totally. And just the way they play, I just feel like, you know, they're March ready, and that's a good price.
All right. One of the things Nick does really.
Need the heels to win the ACC.
Nick Bogdanovich, you remember we talked about him putting up the Astros, how many times they get batsman, drilled.
Yeah.
81, we're still right there. But he's also put up, do you guys know, where will Tom Brady be next year?
He has that.
He put up odds.
Yeah. Can I bet that?
I think San Francisco.
I actually took Raiders
San Francisco
at 3-1, and they've dropped. They're 4-1.
3-1 right now. I just printed
this out
today. So with all that.
You could say it.
No, San Francisco's not even on here. The late runner right now. They're talking about San Francisco getting in the sweepstakes. I'm dead serious.
No, I know they are. That's what I'm saying.
They're not on the.
They've got to be on there. That's
on
the
Patriots are -110 that Tom Brady returns to New England next year.
I still think
The Raiders are 3-1. Raider fans, 3-1.
I think you're going to see Cam Newton as a Raider.
Oh boy, that's trading one bad quarterback for another.
Well, that's what it was. It was Derek Carr in the second rounder for Cam Newton.
Dolphins 200.
I take Derek Carr with
Dolphins 200-1. Dallas Cowboys 150-1. Let me pull
Titans.
Titans 10-1. There you go, John. Look at it. Tell everybody. Tell the listeners. I'm gonna fire up my mobile app and see if
it's amazing. The Niners are not even on here.
That's what I'm gonna look up right now
because it's that's been as mentioned as anything else is the Niners. You know, of course, he grew up a Niner fan and has those ties there. And, you know, I think Jimmy G's gotten a lot of stuff he may not have deserved for them not finishing that game.
He doesn't have them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The field is three.
I would think Patriots or Niners, and then that's it.
Field's 3-1.
That's my thought.
How about this?
He's not going to go to the Buccaneers.
How about this? 50-1 that he doesn't take a snap in week one. What if he gets hurt?
Or doesn't have a deal in place.
50-1? I don't know. Josh, a little $20 bill to win 1,000?
Yeah, I like that. Because like you said, Ken, you never know.
You know what? As we speak, I'm going to bet $25.
Yeah.
I'll post it on that Tom Brady does not take it.
Because you have the retirement angle. You have maybe they just didn't work out a deal.
What if he gets mono?
He could get the corona. Who knows? I love that bet.
I'm waiting for the authorization right now. It's rolling.
Can you really imagine him not being a New England Patriot?
The Niners thing is starting to get some momentum. I don't know, John. I heard
earlier
this week.
How is that, Josh? How is it not on here then?
I know.
Because that's all I've heard is
exactly,
Niners.
Exactly. But the Patriots, did you hear earlier this week they actually had a phone call with Belichick or something? It was reported that it, quote, didn't go well. This might be the time where they actually cut ties.
This is such a
Patriots smokescreen. It's unbelievable.
I'm in. I'm going to post it on our Facebook
page. This is what they do.
I'll post it on our Facebook page.
He's coming back. You saw him with Julian Edelman at that ball game the other night.
All it would take is market value, just the $30 million.
He's Tom Brady. He's going to be a Patriot.
All right. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping.
To my detriment.
Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. I just bet $25 at 50-1 that he doesn't take a snap.
I hope to God you hit that.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
No snap in week one, too. It's not like he has to miss the whole season.
Yeah, exactly.
It could just be like you said. But he plays the fourth preseason game and –
It's posted. All right, that's a great bet.
I'm gonna do it.
Listen, he's 40 plus years old.
All right, now I'm gonna have two of these.
He could have hemorrhoids or something. I mean, there could be a lot.
Great.
Is that
an old man's disease?
Yeah, it is.
$20.
Are you fired up the app right now?
I did.
So I bet it. There it is. No snap. Tom Brady, week one, 50-1 for $25.
All right.
$1,275.
I like it.
It's pretty good.
$1,275. And it's not like 21-12.
21-12 Broncos,
by
the way.
Let's go, Broncos.
Yes.
Uh-oh, but this is what we talk about. Fire up the app. What's San Diego State right now?
Exactly. Now what's it now?
Here's Coach Dutcher right now with his Dutcher face. Dutcher.
Trying to sell you an 85 Camaro with low miles.
Yeah, he just.
New carpet.
There's nothing about that guy. But he's a good coach, apparently.
All right, let's see what the
going back to those Fab Five.
Here we go. College basketball in play right now. San Diego State -2.5, 139.5. That's just absolutely crazy. Now it's 1.5. So San Diego State—that's
a pretty good deal.
That means they score right here. Because if you watch the in play, you can almost tell what's going to happen. This is guaranteed to go down.
Nope.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, this is the first time in my life I've ever said this. Let's go, Boise.
Aztecs are killing our total, too, because they've missed like 8 shots.
We have two non-states playing, John.
Yeah, Boise is flat out not a state. San Diego is flat out not a state. I'm not even sure Utah's a state at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Boise, stick this ball. Shoot that.
Fresno's not a state.
All right. Make sure you like the show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapper. You can also get all of Josh's stuff at sportsline.com. Oh, we got a foul.
On.
Here we go. Going to the line. What else you got going, Josh? What else you got going? But I know that any overnight lines, any big games tomorrow in college
basketball? Yeah, I was just mentioning that, Ken, but we're at the point of the year where you don't see, like, the full slate Saturdays where William Hill starts loading up the lines on Friday night. That we're getting all these day-by-day odds, right, because of the conference tournaments. I'm seeing right now they don't have anything that's live yet, although I still think some conferences have regular games tomorrow. William Hill doesn't have those odds loaded yet. Let's just see what's actually on the schedule and see if this comes up. Auburn. Oh, okay, so here's some Auburn against Tennessee tomorrow. It looks like Tennessee's opening -2.5. I mean, it's tough to say. Auburn's been really up and down. Villanova, Georgetown. Villanova's got a chance to win the Big East. The Villanova's -7.5.
Let's
at Georgetown.
Go. Oh, yes.
It seems like Georgetown fights everybody to the
everybody.
End in that spot, particularly
everybody.
As the home dog there. Oh, Kentucky against Florida. Florida's -3. Kentucky, I think, is viable
what?
To also win it.
They're going
to
win it all. They're
Florida,
going
Kentucky
to win it all.
Could.
They're,
Florida they're, Florida's a, is favored in that game?
Florida -3. They tend to own the Wildcats at home in this
rivalry. Well, this is
they're winning it all, Kentucky. I'll tell
and
you
then
right
you have
now.
Kansas. Speaking of, like, just the kind of must-win situation is Texas Tech you know, took Baylor to OT the other night, game they outplayed them, should have won.
That's a good game.
It was, but Texas Tech, it's like do or die. Kansas locked up first place, so Texas Tech at home dog plus 3.5, and I would think it's one of those things that they needed to get in the NCAA tournament. Well,
did Baylor lose again this last week? They have one loss, right?
No, Baylor's got
two losses. Okay, that's right. I lost my mind there.
So, and then all kinds of Pac-12 action as well. So UCLA at USC and Arizona, Cal at Oregon State. A lot of that Washington State at Arizona State. So you saw last night Arizona State lost to Washington. That's one of those. It's kind of funny. I heard the broadcasters talking about what's going to be the highest seed a Pac-12 team will
receive. Correct, Tommy. San Jose is not a state.
And I'm curious to see how that plays out too, because by and large the Pac-12 is pretty weak this year.
It is, but I think
Oregon.
I was watching. I think it might have been the halftime show of the Wolfpack game I said with Wally Zerbiak and Ryan Hollins saying that UCLA at least are as talented as a lot of teams in this country. I love Peyton Pritchard. I love Oregon. I think that they're going to make a run.
Yeah, Pritchard's been around forever, and I will.
He really has. I love it.
He was seriously. He's the holdover from their Final Four team a couple of years ago, but. I would just think, they would be who I would identify as potential to go the furthest.
Yeah.
The Pac-12.
It's all matchups. It's all matchups.
Boise State, 8:32 left in the first. 30. They just what was 26? What was the score? 26-12?
14.
26-14.
Wow. I like it.
Need the Aztecs to step up a little
Boise
bit.
Boise State's battling. It's fantastic for the over. Keep scoring. We're going to show the fight here at the Club Cal Even tomorrow. We have 1 minute. We're going to show the fight tomorrow here on right here in the event room. 220-foot screens. No admission fee. Free. Just come in and buy drinks. That's
free,
all you got.
Free.
But there's no 2-drink minimum or anything. So nice. Everybody's welcome. Tell your friends. Come down here. It's a sneaky good card, Josh. It's a really sneaky good card.
I think so too, Ken. Especially, top heavy. The co-main and main should be good fights.
Absolutely. And what else is going on? Baseball. Next week we got to talk about baseball win totals and stuff like
all
that,
right.
John.
I'm in. So. I actually bet for once in my life, the San Francisco Giants over 68.5 wins.
Is that a gentleman's bet or
I really think that they're going to be a little better than we think.
All right,
it's not a great team. It's not a contending team, but they can win 70 games.
All right, Utah State tips off after this, so go Utah State. That's where my money's going. Make sure you like the show. Can you beat ESPN Sports Handicapping? Download the mobile app at www.williamhill.us on ESPN 94.5.